This is the 11th day of March, 1978. Gerda Sundberg, Ed Sundberg, are interviewing in Thousand Oaks, California, on the Ribbons of Memories.
Would you please give us your full name?
Axel Valdemar Peterson.
Would you please tell us something about where you were born?
I was born in Charlottegade nummer 15 på 3. sal den 9. juni klokken 7 om aftenen.
And what year was that?
In 1893.
You're just a youngster, aren't you?
Apparently.
How old were you when you came to this country, Mr. Peterson?
Jeg var 26 år.
26 år. Can you tell us a little bit about your early life in Copenhagen? What do you remember especially about your mother and father?
Well, my father, han var, havde tuberkulose. Så han kom på et tuberkulosesanatorium. Han var tømrer af profession. Og en ret dygtig tømrer. Han arbejdede hele året, hvilket kun dem, der kunne bygge trapper, gjorde. Min mor, hun kom fra Sydsjælland, og hendes forældre havde en hyggeforretning.
Now, what is a hyggeforretning?
A general store.
Grocery store.
General store. Og der tilbragte jeg under min fars sygdom af tiden fra jeg var 5 til jeg var næsten 7 år. Der var jeg vokset op imellem disse mennesker, og da jeg så kom derfra til København, så kunne jeg både læse og skrive. Før jeg gik.
You tell me that you were able to read when you started school. Now, who taught that to you?
My grandmother.
Now, you must tell us about your grandmother. First, her name.
Hendes navn, det var Ellen Petersen, og hun var født Petersen. Hun havde arbejdet på Gavnø Slot, der var, hvor H.C. Andersen kom som voksen, og boede hos greven der, Ritz Todt.
I see.
Og han var med, min bedstefar var med i krigen i 1848 i Sverige ved Borg.
I see.
Og så da han kom tilbage, han havde været rideknægt hos Ritz Todt som ung. Og da han så kom tilbage, så giftede han sig med min bedstemor. Og de flyttede så til en lille by, der hedder Vester Egesborg, syd for Næstved.
That's on Lolland Falster.
No, på Sjælland.
So it is på Sjælland?
Ja. Yeah.
I see. We're fine.
Senere, da jeg blev ældre, så kom jeg tilbage i min ferie til det samme sted, men ikke hos de samme mennesker, men på en gård, der grænsede ud til Dybsø Fjord. Og der kan jeg huske, at vi stangede ål om aftenen med lys på, og gik ud med små både, og så stod vi der og stangede åben og spiste dem med velbehag.
I still want to know a little bit more about learning to read, and you said that your grandmother was the one responsible.
Well, jeg lærte det, så vidt det er jo vanskeligt at tænke sig, at man som 5-6 år dreng kan huske, hvad der skete. Mm-hmm. Men hun blev den, jeg kunne have mest tillid til, er noget menneske, mm-hmm, i livet. Mm-hmm. Hvem som helst, jeg har haft siden, har jeg aldrig haft den fulde tillid, jeg havde til min bedstemor. For jeg kunne fortælle hende alt muligt, og hun, mm-hmm, fortalte ikke historierne, som jeg havde oplevet. Mm-hmm. Men holdt dem for sig selv, og delte dem med mig.
I see.
Og hun flyttede så ved året 1900, da hendes mand døde, så flyttede hun til København og boede hos min onkel, der havde en vektuærlig forretning i det kvarter, som vi flyttede til i året 1900. Og der købte mine forældre et 3-etages hus, Arbejdernes Byggeforening, foranstaltede dem til at blive bygget. Og der boede hun så, til hun døde, min mor, i 1956.
That's right. Mr. Peterson, we have your grandmother's name, Ellen Peterson. What about your grandfather's name?
His name was Peter. Peterson.
Peter Peterson. What else do you know about him besides the fact that he was a soldier in 1848?
Not very much, except that he had silver buttons on his vest. This was a very outstanding thing to have when you had real silver button. And then his pants, you know, he used to have these old pants that buttoned here on the side, and you slapped them out in the front. So he had...
It had a front flap rather than a zipper, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Outside of that, I really don't know much about him.
Now, you have told us the kind of clothing he wears. What kind of an appearance did he have? What did he look like, as you remember him?
Yeah, he had a little whiskers. You know, they all had that mm-hmm. at that time.
Didn't he have it on the sides?
No.
A tall man, a little
no,
man?
No, a small man. A same stature as I. Yeah. Not, he was out of peasant stock that had survived the brutality or nobility for several hundred years.
Mm-hmm.
So my grandmother's sister married a German by the name Jebens. He was a weaver.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that I really have in my recollection that two of my cousins were visiting in the holiday, his place where they lived in a small town, Basness, and the lightning struck them and killed one of the boys. Mm-hmm. And the other one, he was lamed, but I met him in Denmark many years later when we returned to Denmark. That's the really story that I can tell.
Now, you spoke of having a great trust in your grandmother. You felt very comfortable with her.
Yeah.
What was your relationship to your grandfather?
Cool.
Was he a strict man?
He was a very strict man, I suppose. I really never had anything to do with him.
I see.
My grandmother was the one that cared for me and spoiled me, apparently. Mm. But she induced me to... be good in writing and good in reading.
Mm-hmm. It was the best gift she could give you, wasn't it?
It was a wonderful gift. I never forget that.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
Yes, later. My first brother died of diphtheria when he was 2 years old. He was born in about 95. Then
and his name was?
Wilhelm.
Wilhelm, okay.
And my father had been married before, and he had a daughter with his first wife who had died from tuberculosis. And this daughter died when she was 19 from the same thing, tuberculosis. So up to 1903, I didn't have any brothers. So after that, I got three brothers in 1903, 1906, and 1910.
Would you give us the names of those brothers that you have not
Sven,
mentioned?
Sven, Emil, Holger
and Carl.
Carl mm-hmm. Peterson.
I see, thank you. When we were talking a little earlier, you said you even knew the date and the place you were baptized. Would you give that to us? I know you don't remember it, but you have
yeah,
been told.
I visited the place on one of my visits to Denmark. We went out. It is located, St. Stephen's Church is located just on the other side of the place, a square mm-hmm. Where five roads meet, and then it's about half a mile out further. It was built for the working population of Copenhagen in about, I suppose, in about 1870, as far as I can remember. But it's I have not visited the church for service of any kind.
Did your parents go to that church?
No. My father, he was an ardent socialist, but my mother, she was a pious, religious a person that didn't attend church.
How much influence did they have one way or the other on your eventual philosophy on life? Or did it eventually all come together?
I think it came together. My father was eager in the group that wanted to elevate themselves culturally.
Mm-hmm.
So I had lots of good companionship. He taught me to work. He taught me to do things. I never got a spanking in all my life from my parents.
And yet, now what about your mother's religious feelings? Did she pass some of that on to you?
No. Not at all.
I see.
Did your father, after he became the ardent socialist, did he go back to school or did he go to a school?
No, he did not go to school. He had a very, he was coming from out from the country, and he had lost his parents when they were rather young. So he was on his own most of his life, but he was, I consider him very intelligent.
Did your father join any socialist groups
No, he was never a party member.
And he never took part in the politics of the country then?
No.
I see. What about the schooling that you had in Copenhagen? What can you tell us about that?
Well, first I went to the public school for 4 years. And my sister, she had gone to a school for gifted children. And it was required in order to be allowed to come to that school that you were number one in your class, and you were, and the principal of the class considered you worthy of a good education. I succeeded. We were 30 people taken, 30 boys.
You were one of those too?
Yeah, I was one of them. And I ranked from number one to number eight in the group all the time, up and down, you know, after what you had time. We went to school 6 days a week, to 2 o'clock on Saturday, to 3 o'clock all the other days. And we started out with having German, French, and English in school the first year.
Mm. And now this is, at what age then you were?
11.
11.
Yeah, I'm 11. And at that time, I had already determined what I was going to be. I was going to be an engineer. I had no money, nothing to get the education on, but I was going to be an engineer.
What was the name of that school?
The United Church School. The church school was formed in 1864, and it consisted of the choir boys from 12 inner city churches in Copenhagen. We were singing in the choir in Our Lady's Church in Copenhagen, if you know where that is, if you've been there.
Yes.
Yes. But we were just as vicious as boys are today. Our teacher, he was about 6 foot tall, and he taught us a cappella, singing. We never had music. We just had the A, and he formed that for us, and then we were off on our own. I could find our own step in the scale where we were going to sing at. We sang at four levels, you know, four different, and we did well. He formed a cappella choir after I had left school that was universally recognized. His name was Geisler, and he played in the Reformed Church in Copenhagen for many years.
Now, was it on a scholarship you went there, or were your parents expected to pay something toward that education?
No, in the common school in Copenhagen, you paid generally 1 crown a month for education. If you couldn't afford that, you went to the free school. There was free schools and schools where you paid. Now, in the United Church School, we didn't pay anything. And when I left the school, I got a scholarship for about, I think, 400 crowns, which wasn't very much, but it was plenty at the time.
You told us about the languages you learned at that school. What other subjects did you learn?
Bookkeeping was that, mathematics and especially drawing, artist drawing. And then they were teaching us music if we had talent for it. We played violin or whatever we had talent for. The school had a limited budget, but the teachers we had there were the cream of the crop, because they wanted to teach in our school because they had an easy job. Mm-hmm. They had people that wanted to learn something. I became the class historian in the last year of my schooling. I was teaching Old Testament in my class.
I was going to ask you about religion. Now, since it was sort of, anyway, you had to name church in it. Was there anything church related to it? Were you expected to go to church or anything like that?
No compulsion of any kind.
I see.
We had gymnastic every day.
My father's a very good gymnast.
He is.
In fact, it was a parlor trick for many years. When I was a little girl, he can fall straight like this, flat, prone on the floor, and catch himself with his strong forearms. And then I would take and pick him up by the seat of his pants. I couldn't, of course, pick him up, but it would be he'd do a quick push-up.
I see.
And
now,
we must have you
identify yourself.
I'm Jenny Peterson Erickson.
And
I was born August 9th, 1927. I'm Axel and Marie Peterson's daughter.
And there was another lady's voice in here a little while ago. Would you identify yourself?
What should I say?
Just tell
her name.
Just
give
her
name.
Oh, my name.
Yeah,
Marie. Oh, I'm very proud of my name. I don't know why I changed to such a common name as Peterson. My name was Marie Germaine Freudendahl.
Freudendahl.
F-R-E-U-D-E-N-D-A-L.
Now, you.
Freudendahl.
That must be Danish.
It is Danish. It was my grandfather came from the southern part, of Denmark,
Sønderjylland. We just want to be sure that if your voices come again, that whoever listens to the tape will know who you are. I would like to make an explanation on the tape that Ed and I are attending Scandinavian Days in Thousand Oaks, and we are doing a demonstration tape. There are other people's coming and going, but this is for demonstration purposes that we are doing this tape today. I think we will... Ed, did you want to something else on the school?
Yes. Do you know of any of the names of your colleagues who were in that school?
Schoolmates?
You? Yes.
Oh, yes. I have a list of them home, of all 30.
Do you remember one or two names?
Oh, yeah. I had one. His name was Leo. Svan Flygel.
F-L-Y?
S-C-H-O. W-A-N-E-N-F-L-U-G-E-L. Swanbird. That's what it means.
Mm. I see. Mm-hmm.
He came as a poor boy from Bodø. Did I talk to you about Bodø?
A little earlier. Yeah. That's in Norway, isn't
it? Yeah, and he came with his mother. And it took them 60 days for them to reach Copenhagen from Bodø, which you can reach today in less than 3 hours by a plane, the same place. He went to the Royal Ballet in Copenhagen and studied there, but then his mother thought he should have a little better foundation in Danish, which we had in that school. And he was in there. He had from his early youth, he had only one ambition, and that was to gather money. He wanted to be a millionaire, and when he died in about 1960, he was worth about $1.5 million. He owned a big commercial or industrial property in Denmark, and he had a really fantastic life. I could tell many things about him, what happened to him.
That can be for a later tape, but right now, what's the name of another one of your...
Albert Christensen.
And would you tell us about Albert Christensen?
Well, he was a poor boy like me, but he had the same ambition that he was going to be somebody. And through many miscues and everything, he finally made it. He had become the biggest manufacturer of bandages in Denmark. He had, but he couldn't import them to the United States because they were not sterilized as they were required here. But he sold them in all the underdeveloped countries, in Western Europe and everywhere. He really made it big.
Do you know how many of these people that you went to school with came to the United States?
Only me.
Only you?
In my class. Nobody else has come.
I see.
Looking back at that class you were in, what was it that caused these people to go that way, to become so successful?
Well, those two people were outstanding. They had talents. They had he had talent for business, Leo, and the other one, he had a driving force that made him successful. He got he worked for many years for a chemical laboratory, you know, and sold chemical things all over. But then he ventured in business himself and became wealthy. Mm. There were several. I had one. No, he was not in that class. Yeah, the rest of them were not. They were not much above anybody else.
Well, success, you know, doesn't necessarily mean money. I think also if you find life interesting, then you are a success. Were they happy boys in this school?
Yeah, in the school we were very happy. See, we were the first team to play soccer in the lower grade. They never allowed the lower grade to play soccer. So we forced the teacher to let us play soccer. And he said, you can play soccer if you can beat the oldest class. And we did. We taunted them like nothing because we were born soccer players. When we were born, you know, we just could kick that ball on.
What other athletics or sports did they have in that school?
Swimming.
And?
Gymnastics.
Yeah, I had two of my classmates. They become master. They become, in their class, they were superior in boxing. One, he got the lightweight boxing championship in England. And the other one, he became an electrical engineer. So he gave up the boxing at that time. But he was a son of a theatrical man in Copenhagen.
Now, in gymnastics, did you have a special teacher in that subject?
Yeah, we had one that was perfect in teaching gymnastics.
What was his name?
Elmqueen.
And his first name?
I can't remember that offhand, but I have it home. Mm-hmm. I have a book from the school home in my library.
Mm-hmm. And I think that you, Mrs. Erickson, should one day sit down with your father with that book in front of him and pump him on this subject. I want to go back one more thing, and maybe you can't answer it, and it's all right if you can't. I know all you boys must have been different, but was there one common thing about you that made you eager for this school? Was there something you can say, well, they were this kind of a boy?
They were honor.
Honor. They were honor students.
Yeah. Yes. They were honor students.
Yes.
So
we yeah.
But we did lots of mischief. Don't
yourself
I mean, about
that. Well, that was going to be my question. Mm-hmm. Can you tell a story about how mischievous you were?
Yeah. When we went to confirmation, we went to the Castle Church in Copenhagen, 30 boys and 30 girls. And we never knew the girls. They were, you know, they were non-essential as far as we were concerned. But we got, like boys, we got fighting with somebody. We had to fight anybody. So we were fighting with the stable boys in the Royal Riding Academy. With the result, they captured one of them, of ours. And so we got mad and we got two of their boys and threw them out in the canal, in the water. Mm-hmm. And the police had to fish them out. Mm-hmm. And the next day, the police was in school and said, who did it? And there was 30 boys that all did it.
And you all stood up when he said
Everybody
that.
Stood up. There was not one hesitation about who threw him in. We all did.
What kind of punishment did you get?
None.
None
whatsoever.
Was this a boarding school, or did you go home and sleep at night?
Well, sure. I was home 5 o'clock.
I see.
I left for school 7 o'clock in the morning with my uncle, who was going in to buy some pork. And he went to the slaughterhouse.
I see.
And he had to stop next to where I went to school. So I went to school with him every day, 7 o'clock. I was up and sitting next to him, and he driving the one lame horse he had into school. And
what was his name?
Hans Peter Christensen.
And did the horse have a name?
Oh, we had lots of trouble. I could tell you lots of trouble with that horse.
No, but did he have a name?
Oh, I can't remember the name. So, of course she had a name. I think she was female. As far as I remember. But I didn't pay male or female didn't amount to much that time
but
for me.
But then the uncle took you to school, and then how long did you have to stay in school?
To 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock.
And then we went out and played soccer to 4:30. Then I was home about 5 o'clock. Then I had to study home 2 or 3 hours a night. So I went to bed about 9 o'clock every night.
It was then foolish to ask, did you ever hold a job when you were a kid?
Of course not. Never earned a penny.
I see. Now, how many years were you at this school?
4 years.
4 years.
Hmm.
When you were finished there, did you have any more schooling then?
Oh, yeah.
Would you tell us about it?
Then I went for a year and a half to what we call the preliminary exam in Danish. And I got about 110 points. If you're especially brilliant, you'll get about 120 points. You had to have, I had two languages compulsory, history, Danish, of course, mm-hmm. and arithmetic. Not too far advanced, not higher mathematics, but just up trigonometry and things of that kind. And that was a university. It gave you admittance to the university. But then I, after that, I apprenticed out for 2 years in the Navy Yard. And then I was admitted to the Navy Engineering School to study naval architecture. I stayed there 4 years, graduated from there. That was, of course, many things happened in that period of time. From your 17 to your 21 years old, lots of things happened in your life.
I know we have to rush now because Gerd and I need a little rest and so forth, but may I ask one thing? What was it that caused you to think about coming to America?
I didn't like the Navy.
That's
Were you an enlisted man?
No, I was a naval officer.
What rank?
Assistant engineer in the Navy, in the Navy Yard.
Yes, sir.
And shipbuilding.
I see. And what caused you not to like the Navy?
I didn't like stripes. I was against stripes. Because a man had a stripe more than me, he could tell me what to do, even if it was a fool. I resented that if he didn't know what he was talking about.
And that
I've always resented when people are talking about something they don't know a thing about. Then I don't want to listen to them.
And that basically caused you to think about leaving Denmark.
Yeah, then I told that I was going for 3 years to cool off in America. And if I hadn't found anything in America, I was coming back to Denmark. Mm.
Would they have accepted you?
No.
They have accepted you at the naval shipbuilding place if you came back?
Oh, no, not there. But I could get lots of employment. Oh. See, I had graduated as a naval architect. I could employ it in 10 or 15 other shipyards if I wanted to do that. But I worked for a year in Camden, New Jersey, for New York Shipbuilding. And then I went west with two of my schoolmates. One of my classmates and one other, they went to the same school. And we went to Seattle. I worked there for Boeing for a short time till they got tired of having me around. Because